You're listening to Rochelle Hunt. Call 1300 222 774 or text 0437 774 774.
This gorgeous spring weather, we've all just got a little bit more of a skip in our step. We're just feeling a bit happier. Maybe we've got a bit more energy to cook at home, to think outside the square, to stop with those three dishes that we rotate every week. Or maybe that's just me. Danny Valent, writer, eater, cook. How's spring treating you so far, Danny? I feel like it's the first day in and, you know, my world is
a better place. Oh, a better place. I was going to say, well, I'm feeling very overdressed. So I feel like I need to do that shift where I was like, oh, what do I wear when it warms up? I've forgotten. So I need to recall which items I can pull from the back of the wardrobe shrug on.
A couple of days ago, I just went, okay, opaque black stockings, you are done. You're gone. You're all bally and weird and stretched and that's it. I'm putting you in the bin and or to the back of the cupboard and pull
you out
next spring.
Well, you know Melbourne's going to come back and bite you with that one.
I was saying, has anyone got a coat I can borrow? Now, today we're looking at those dishes that you never cook at home.
Yes.
There can be lots of reasons why we don't attempt them at home, but what are some of the main ones?
Well, the one that I came upon and I was like, I'm never going to get past this, was Peking duck, because I do love to eat Peking duck, but I would never make it. And that is because you need to inflate the skin from the flesh with a bicycle pump.
Really?
Yes, to ensure that the fat renders properly and you get that beautiful golden burnished crisp skin.
I had no idea. You know, when go to the loo in Chinese restaurants and I always peer into the kitchen, I've never seen a bicycle pump hanging from the utensils.
It's probably a 3-day process, so that's very early on in the process. So it might be done in a back room where you don't see it. And maybe it's not what diners wish to see as they wander past on the way to the facilities. And, of course, you know, traditionally it wouldn't have been done with a bicycle pump. I think traditionally perhaps a bamboo straw and it's a very strong set of lungs. But, it's great to get a little bit of air into the duck in that way. And when I look at my bicycle pump and I think about my love of Peking duck, I'm just not seeing the two meeting. So that's the one thing that I would not cook at home.
1-300-222-774 and you can text 0437-774-774. What are those dishes or even just ingredients that you leave alone that you don't cook at home and why? It could be that they're too difficult. It could be that they take too long, that they're too stinky, or maybe somebody else does it better. You know, I don't touch beetroot in our house. Can't be bothered.
Really?
Yeah. You got to do the gloves and then stains the chopping boards.
Yeah.
It's too hard.
I know. Well, yeah. I think it's worth it. But look, it is something that you sort of look at in the fruiterer and you think, am I going to go there? Sometimes I will, but sometimes I won't. So it's sad for the beetroot farmers and the beetroot lovers out there, isn't it?
Well, I'm sure other people are making up for my consumption, because I think I'm the only one in my household that eats it. So,
well, that's because you haven't given it to them 9 times to try.
I don't believe in that theory.
Don't you?
No, not my daughter. Absolutely not.
She's a flat no kind of kid. Yeah. Move right
give
along.
Up pretty easily. Well, not easily, but you eventually are worn down.
I hear you. I feel you. Yes.
1-300-222-774 and you can text 0437-774-774. Caroline says, I will not deep fry at home. Better be the occasional takeaway treat than a regular meal at home. The whole little home deep fryer became a bit of a trend at one point.
Yes. I have seen them in a few homes. I've never had one, but I have heard from, researching this piece, a lot of people will not deep fry at home. And look, it is a hassle. You've got to use all that oil. Then what do you do with the oil? And it does, it does stink out the house a bit. So, I mean, there are some things that I'll shallow fry where you might traditionally have deep fried them. It's like
spring rolls and things. I will just do a little shallow fry.
Yeah, shallow fry. Well, I'm thinking churros because that's where my mind turns. So you can shallow fry. I'm sure everyone's been wanting to know that you can shallow fry them in a couple of centimetres of oil.
What do you do with the oil?
Well, you can keep it. So you can just strain it and keep it in a jar for your optimistic self that thinks you'll go back to it one day.
Then and you then move house some, 10 years
yes,
later. And
you find it. You're like, what is that?
Wee at the back of the jar.
This thick wee. So you don't put it down the sink, that's for sure. So you could put it in a corner of the garden. Don't recommend putting in the compost. Worms aren't in love with it. You're supposed to put it between sheets of newspaper and then bag it up and put it in the bin.
Here's a good text. Chicken Kiev. That's just taking me back to circa 1980. That was such a dish in our household. Frozen, of course. Terrible.
Right.
Never been able to cook it at home without losing all of the butter. How do they keep it sealed inside in the restaurants, says this text.
That is a good question. I'm not a Chicken Kiev expert either. But, I think anything that's stuffed or rolled, I think a lot of people will avoid doing at home.
The Chicken Kiev. I do. Stick on this, but what is it, the Maryland? No, because sometimes it can be on the bone if it's a bit fancy.
Yeah, it would be the Maryland that you would stuff. You could stuff a breast as well and, enclose that.
So with buttery goodness.
Yeah, yum.
Deep frying at home is the best, says this text. Fresh fish, southern chicken, tempura veggies, get on it.
Yeah, well, we need to know, do you have a lot of doors that you can open? Do you have really good ventilation in the kitchen? And what do you do with the oil? Because I think these are the things that people come upon. You know, they might do it once and they're like, whoa, well, you know, what did I just do?
Yeah. Why are the neighbours knocking on my door? 1-300-222-774. You can text 0437-774-774. What are the dishes that you purely leave to the restaurants? Fish would actually be mine too. I mean, not many people in my house eat fish for allergic reasons.
Ah, okay.
But even when people are coming over, I get a bit scared of cooking fish.
Okay. I think the way to get over fish terror, which is a common affliction, is to do it in a paper parcel, so en papillote, as the French would say, with better French accents, because that is a pretty foolproof way to cook fish. So just wrapping it up with some herbs and some lemon and steaming it or baking it. And it's hard to go wrong with that because all the moisture is locked in and you don't have a pan where the skin can stick and make you sad. So I think that's a good way to go with fish.
Souffle must be high on the list for
souffle
a lot of people.
Souffle is high on the list. You know what?
You say that in a, I've just given up.
No, I've tried it and I've had souffle success and, you know, but I think it is one of those dishes that people will set themselves as a bit of a challenge. It's such a classic. It is so satisfying to make at home and actually not that hard.
For some, Danny Valent.
Well, I think if anything goes wrong with your souffle, blame your oven. That's your get out.
I do that for everything. Oh, it's the oven, the seal. The seal's not great.
Yeah.
Air gets in and out.
Your technique's amazing, but that oven.
Oven's rubbish. When you just mentioned the challenge, you know, and souffle is a challenge, it did make me think, though, about when to try that challenge. And that wouldn't be at a dinner party. That would be when the family's at home or your bestie's over, and if it all goes a little bit pear-shaped, it's okay. It will still taste good, just not be all foofy.
That's what the experts say, but whoever does that, like I'm definitely have some people over, get all excited, cook a whole bunch of stuff for the first time ever. And even I would tell people not to do that, but I can't help it. I just want to. It's when I want to, it's when I want to get creative and try new things.
And if your friends are good, then they don't mind. They'll still love you if there's a little disaster thrown in there.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think if I've got a lot of one-time visitors, but
I thought you were going to say that. It's like, have I got any disasters? I'm like, come on, Danny, surely you've had a dinner party fail like all of us?
Yeah, of course I have. But my recent one, I cooked Sri Lankan food for the first time and kept inviting people, ended up being about 25 of us. And it was really good. There's things I do differently next time, but no stories of poisonings or afflictions. So I think I'll call that one a success.
Ladies, air fryer is better than a deep fryer.
Yeah, they seem like magic. I just don't.
Are they one of those ones that you watch on one of those infomercials and they manage to air fry all sorts of things?
Yeah, and things go golden brown and really crisp. I mean, they sound magic. I've never had the pleasure.
Easy, open your window, exhaust fan, filter, reuse the oil. Take spent oil to a local landfill for recycling. Seems like a lot of trouble.
There you go.
But fair enough if, you know. No judgment here. Beef Wellington, always leave that to the experts.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a rolled piece of
meat? Yeah, that's rolled. So with like a sort of mushroom farce and pastry around the top and delicious. I have made that.
A mushroom which?
So a farce. So just like a
pâté?
Yeah, almost like you'd cook mushrooms down until they turn into a sort of pâté that you can roll around with. I think there's some bacon or some sort of pork involved as well with a beef Wellington, and then slice it through. And look, honestly, there's nothing as satisfying as slicing through something slightly complex that you've done yourself and seeing those beautiful layers.
Nicholas, what do you leave to the experts?
I don't think I leave anything to the experts. Oh. I don't think I've ever tried anything that I wouldn't do at home.
Oh, good on you.
But I have a foolproof recipe for any fish.
Please tell.
Okay, so you can use this with sardines, calamari, any fish fillet. It won't work with an unfilleted fish like a big mullet or a salmon, but any fish fillet, any seafood. So you get a mixture of very fine polenta, like corn, ground corn flour, not the corn flour that's white, I mean the cornmeal.
Yes.
So I use half of that and half is spelt. Just use that dry. You can also make your own batter, but you can make that mixture into a batter. What you do is you coat the fish both sides, whether it's sardines, calamari, fish fillet. You just flour it both sides. I then use a carbon steel pan. I would never use a Teflon pan for this. You could probably use a stainless steel pan, but I use carbon steel pans, which are the cheapest ones you can get and very, very good. And you turn the heat on very high. I use extra virgin olive oil. A lot of chefs will have a go at me for that. They have had a go at me, but the olive oil is part of the meal. So you get your carbon steel pan, you heat it to high. When it's smoking, you add your olive oil. It gets really hot. You throw the fish in, crisper on one side, turn it over crisp on the other. It'll still be raw inside. This is very, very quick. And you have a lemon juice. You've got the juice from a squeezed lemon in a little cup. So you put the fish on, heat it so it gets crisp on one side, turn it over, it'll get crisp on the other. You've got to have a pan that'll cover the fry pan, and then you just throw the lemon juice over the fish, and then you put the lid on and you turn the heat off.
And that does the last little bit of cooking. I have a feeling, Nicholas, that you've given that recipe out once or twice before. It's a very detailed and passionate recipe. Good on you. 1-300-222-774, and you can text 0437-774-774. Okay, we've started something now with the fryer, Danny.
Okay. Oh, no.
I have my fryer on the patio.
Oh, there you go.
So that's dedication to your fryer, I'm just saying. Strain and top up oil every couple of months. Change yearly, disposing garden. How much deep fried food are you eating? I love a deep fried anything.
Yeah.
But that is dedication. Any form of duck, ladies, will not try at home. Arancini balls. I think if I tried this at home, I would ruin my love of them forever.
Oh, they're not so hard, really. But again, we are frying things.
Leftover risotto.
Leftover risotto. What are you going to do? But, you can make – the arancini ball is such a great creation, but you could do an arancini patty and then you wouldn't need to deep fry it. You could just do that in a pan.
That would be –
Oh, no, it's not the same,
feeling
is it?
That, really.
Okay, I'm ruining everyone's love of arancini right here on the spot.
No, just eat them out.
Eat them out.
Does steak tartare count as cooking? I don't cook it at home. The butchers never want to mince premium grade steak for me.
Oh, that's no good.
But you need a better butcher.
Yeah, or you could do it yourself if you've got a good knife. Just get a little bit of meditative chopping and mincing.
Scones. Mine are always small rocks. Help!
Oh, that's no good.
You need to speak to Brian Nankervis. It's his thing.
It's his thing. I think basically don't overwork the dough. So just bring it together and get him in the oven with as little touch as possible.
We've also started something with fish, Michael, haven't we? You're on the Western Ring Road and you have an urge to talk to us about fish.
Happens to anyone.
Well, I've got a quick recipe for fish that alleviates a lot of cooking and a lot of preparation. You get a nice fillet of fish, whether it be Australian salmon, flathead, snapper, whatever, and you put it on an ordinary dinner plate. Spread some butter on it, you spread some seasonal or lemon pepper on it, you put a bit of glad wrap over the top and you put it in the microwave for 30 seconds. That 30 seconds gives you time to butter another piece of bread and pour a glass of wine.
Yes.
And you pull your fish out of the microwave and in 30 seconds it is cooked, poached, beautiful.
Now, Michael, my heart just exploded with love there because I haven't heard the words seasonal since I think about circa 1985. It was the seasoning of choice in our household growing up. Does it still exist?
Yes.
Great. I'm not sure what's in it. I don't want to know.
I don't know what's in it. I know it makes fish taste nice. But you imagine you get home late of a night or late any day from fishing or any time, and it's 8 o'clock at night, you think, oh, I don't want to get the pan out and the oil and everything. Right, so you just put a piece of fish on a plate, butter it, put a bit of seasonal on it or lemon pepper, 30 seconds in the microwave, gives you time to get your coleslaw out of the fridge or whatever.
This is a
glass of
dinner of champions. Michael, and it's healthy and you've solved all of our problems and you have a seasoning for all occasions involved. We used to get it in the, Michael, thank you. Are you driving safe? You're only going 10Ks an hour. What's wrong with the traffic there?
Oh, I don't know. I'm bloody over.
Oh, poor thing. Oh, sorry about the traffic then.
You get a chance to have a chat to us. Good on you, Michael. We used to buy seasonal in like the big shaker container. We were serious.
Is that blue label?
Can't remember the colour of it.
I don't know what it is, to be honest.
It's mystery. I wouldn't even ask, and I'm sure it would probably be banned if we actually found out what went into it. 1-300-222-774. Danny Valente is with you. We're talking about those particular dishes that you just never try at home for some reason. Profiteroles is mine, says this text.
Yeah, profiteroles, well, that's one thing, but to turn them into a croquembouche, like, that's going too far.
I blame MasterChef for that, just quietly, and with the little, fine. I'm doing the movement here of the toffee that they put over the top.
I think a lot of people will steer clear of sugar work at home, caramel, those kinds of things. And another one that I've heard a number of times is gnocchi or any sort of pasta making, which, you know, I'd love people to get past because it is so fun to make pasta and gnocchi at home.
I don't do that either. You know why? This is an excuse. It's like my oven. My kitchen's not big enough. I've got a tiny, tiny little kitchen. You need space for the pasta.
For the roller. Yeah. I mean, you do. I mean, you could hand roll it, I suppose. But I'm feeling you're not going to really be going for that. I mean, a thing that can take up a bit of room with pasta is, you know, sometimes you might hear of someone getting out the air dryer and draping spaghetti all over the house, all over something like that. But so that can take up a little bit of space, but A little handful of noodles. I reckon you could be able to manage that.
What about some of the things that are a bit tricky that we should try at home? Is there some things where it has the impression that, oh, that's too hard basket?
Yeah, I reckon fortune cookies is a good one for people to try at home. I know, they're so fun.
I just have this image of Marge Simpson when she opened one of her fortune cookies, and in my best Marge voice, I think it just said, "You are a coward." That's the little bit inside.
Yeah,
her.
That's a mean one, isn't it?
It is. You could do that. That would be fun.
The great thing about making your own fortune cookies is that you can write your own fortune, and I think we should all be able to write our own fortunes in life.
What are the actual bickies, though? It's just a
basic twill. So a pretty simple biscuit batter. I'll pop the recipe on my website later today. So check out dannyvalent.com. I'll pop that up later.
Okay, this is what our listeners, I just love them so much. Seasonal ingredients.
Oh, great.
Salt, spices, quite generic, including chili pepper, black pepper, celery seed, onion, paprika, maltodextrin. What's that?
It's not scary. It'll just stop it caking. So it's basically, it's a starch. It's derived from a starch.
Garlic, silicon dioxide.
I think that's going
to
be
added to make free flowing and annatto for colour.
Okay. I mean, I'm not surprised to hear the celery seeds in there because I think we don't often use celery seeds by themselves, but we should because they do give things that very savoury flavour.
I'm a big fan of celery and I found a way, and I know Raf was talking a little bit yesterday about how to keep veggies fresh, but I started using celery leaves in salads and little middle bits to stir fry up and...
Yep. That's great.
Yeah, one end to the other. The Greeks have a separate kitchen and shed for frying. So yeah. The Greeks know what they're doing, don't they?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yes, I've actually eaten, it's not the same, but little donuts in an Italian's shed when we're making salami, and that felt like living.
Michael?
Yes?
Yes. Okay, we've started a fish thing. What's your recipe?
Lupin flakes, pepper and lemon. Fry it just like the previous Michael, I think, said. Mm-hmm. But lupin flakes are hugely, it's like a superfood, but the superfood of superfoods.
Right.
Very, very high protein, massive, 40% protein or something, I think, and very low carbs and very high fibre.
And do they crisp up nicely on the fish?
Yeah, they're great.
Oh, that sounds really good.
It's sort of nutty.
Are you adding some seasonal to the top?
Oh, they're very seasonal from Western Australia.
There we go.
It's an Australian sort of success story because lupins are a fantastic nitrogen fixer for the soil.
hang on a second. What? How does that connect?
Well, the lupins grow huge roots and really bad soil and add nitrogen to the soil when they're ploughed in again. That's fantastic. Really nutty. I've been trying them lately. It's fantastic.
Well, people are, I think seasonal's going to have a bit of a surge and no one will know why. And we secretly all know here what the case is.
Let's buy some shares in it right now.
Hollandaise sauce, so difficult at home, I leave it to the experts.
Yeah, I think a lot of the sauces people will tend to leave to the experts. And anything with a complicated, a stock that you've got to boil down for hours. I mean, I guess a lot of people are doing those at home, but a lot of people won't touch the stuff.
Pete, the truck driver, says cassoulet. It's just too many meats. The cooking process is all too difficult.
Yeah, look, there is a lot that goes into a cassoulet, but I think the flip of that is that your house smells amazing for days. So,
and you can eat it for
and
weeks.
You'll eat it for weeks because, I don't know, there's something about even cooking something like that that makes you full. Then you have one mouthful and it tips you
over.
Yeah, I'm done.
And you start knocking on your neighbour's doors. Who wants some of this?
Take my beans and sausages. Save me.
I refuse to cook risotto at home. Way too much time standing at the stove and stirring.
Well, look, that is one that some people will leave alone. But, you know, to me, that's also the recipe before where it included the time to pour a glass of wine. And I think that's good. So stirring risotto, drinking wine, that goes together for me.
Lucy?
Yes?
Was seasonal a big part of your life?
It is. Now.
Yeah, right. So it's stayed with you.
It has.
What do you put it on?
I put it on virtually anything and everything. Chicken, grills, it's awesome. But it's not as bad as you thought. It's actually basically got a bit of salt and pepper, a bit of paprika, onion flakes, garlic flakes, a bit of celery seed, and that's pretty much it. It's awesome.
And do you buy it in the big shaker like we used to?
Yeah, the good. Big shaker. It has, I won't name the brand.
Please don't.
We don't, but it has the brownish sort of label.
Yeah.
And it's readily available in all the commercial
supermarkets. See, it's still going. This is it. I've relived a little bit of my childhood. Lucy, thank you so much. Getting pictures sent in, Danny Valent, of a crocken, what do you call it, a crocken bush? Is that how you say it?
Yes. Have people been making them at home?
A 15-year-old who made it for his mum's 50th birthday last week.
That is outstanding.
Ricotta, gnocchi, easy and fun. We make that at home. I just bought a ricer so I can make good gnocchi for the first time.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
What is that?
So a ricer is a little thing that turns your cooked potatoes into the squiggles that will give them the right consistency to then shape into gnocchi.
What's on your website at the moment, Danny, that we can get some little handy hints from other than, you know, some handy seasoning tips that we picked up today?
My version of seasonal. Well, I'll definitely pop the fortune cookies up. So it's a really simple batter and as the weather warms up, it's good weather for making fortune cookies because the trick with them, and you'll see, I'll put a video up, the trick with them is to fold them before the batter goes hard. So it's all in the timing. It's in a flick of the wrist and, write your own fortunes. Get started now.
DannyValent.com where you can check that out.